Welcome to the Creative Pen Podcast. I'm Joanna Penn, thriller author and creative entrepreneur, bringing you interviews, inspiration, and information on writing, publishing options, and marketing ideas for your book. You can find the episode show notes, your free author blueprint, and lots more information at thecreativepen.com. And that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hello, creatives. I'm Joanna Penn, and this is episode number 437 of the podcast, and it's the 29th of June 2019 as I record this, yes, mid-year. So today I'm actually putting out two shows as I want to keep the content separate, and it would be super long otherwise. So this episode is all about 9 ways that artificial intelligence, or AI, will disrupt authors and the publishing industry, obviously in my opinion. I've spent a lot of time on this article and this podcast, and the show notes are chock full of links. So if you want to go and check out what I'm saying, obviously as I record this as an audio, I won't be able to link to all the URLs, so you'll have to go look at the show notes. So you can obviously always go to the show notes at thecreativepen.com/podcast, and this is episode 437. So the second podcast today, episode 438, will have the usual segments and a smaller interview. So today's mega show is funded by my wonderful supporters on Patreon, who give a couple of dollars a month to pay for my time and my brain, really, in creating these types of solo shows. It gives me time to think about things that hopefully you will find useful. So thank you to everyone who contributes to the podcast every month. It demonstrates you find the show useful and want it to continue. And of course, if you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com, patreon.com/thecreativepen, and you'll get an extra monthly Q&A audio, which is only for patrons. Right, let's get into AI. 9 ways that artificial intelligence, or AI, will disrupt authors and the publishing industry. Some people say that publishing has already been disrupted, that this current state is the new model. But I don't think the disruption has even started yet. As Jeff Bezos says, it's always day one. In the last 10 years, we've seen the rise of digital publishing, print on demand, and the independent author movement, as well as the growth of streaming audio and the use of internet marketing tools like Facebook and Amazon ads to sell more books. In this episode, I'll talk about some of the possible disruptions to come for authors and the publishing industry due to the rise of artificial intelligence in the next 10 years. And of course, this is my opinion. So why write about AI now? Well, 10 years ago, when I started self-publishing, I was over the top excited about the potential of ebooks. And there's a pretty embarrassing video, which I'll link to in the show notes, where I'm like gushing over having an international Kindle and realizing the potential for digital in a worldwide sort of sales market, and very excited about selling my books all over the world. I could see the incredible possibilities as a creator to reach the whole world with my words. And as of right now, I've sold books in 86 countries. So that is pretty exciting. So since starting out in 2008, I have built a multi six-figure business as an author entrepreneur, taking action on that feeling of optimism and learning everything I needed to know to write, publish, market, and make a living with my writing. I started blogging and making money online in 2008 and self-published on the Kindle as soon as it became available to international authors. I started my podcast, this show, in 2009, before it was even called podcasting, and I jumped on Twitter around that same time. So I've adopted new tools as time has gone on, like Scrivener for writing and Vellum for publishing, as well as working with the big incumbent Publishers like Amazon, then Apple and Kobo, and also with new publishers like Ingram Spark for print, Findaway Voices for audio, and of course the wonderful distributors out there like Drafter Digital, Publish Drive and others. But I haven't seen a significant change in my business model over the last 10 years. Then, in 2016, I talked on the podcast about AlphaGo Zero beating Lee Sedol at the game of Go. And I had an aha moment. I remember it very well. It was one of those kind of defining moments where the penny drops and you realize that things have changed. And I've had those moments before. For example, when the penny drops around copyright and also obviously ebooks, but copyright was later for me. I got digital before I got copyright. And then it was like, oh, this is all about licensing. That's very exciting. So essentially, I heard about the AlphaGo Zero beating Lee Sedol. And since then, and so that was towards the end of 2016, I've been devouring books, audiobooks, and podcasts about AI, and also attending events about AI developments. And as you know, if you've been following the show, I've been sharing my thoughts in futurist segments, you know, not every week, but certainly quite regularly. And many of you have said you enjoy those segments. Then in the last 6 months, I've felt a significant acceleration, a shift from AI being a thing of the future to it becoming very much of the now. A lot of developments coming out of various areas. And it feels to me like 2009 all over again in terms of the level of excitement that I feel. And new tools that are emerging are both exhilarating but also terrifying for those who don't embrace the change. So before you start to envision anything too dark about our collective creative future, I am even more excited now about the future for authors and publishing in a world powered by AI, and I am determined to be part of the next shift. So humans are innately creative. We are always going to create. And in this new AI-powered world, we can create more than we ever dreamed possible. I truly believe this. I could not run this business without the tools I am able to use, without the internet, without all of this stuff. I mean, it's crazy. So I'm talking to you across the internet, through your phone probably. This is like magic. So in this article today, in this podcast, I will outline the ways in which AI might impact the business model of authors and the publishing industry over the next 10 years, and how we can surf the change rather than drowning in the deluge to come. I have personally built a new business plan based on these possibilities because I want to embrace AI rather than resist it. And as I said, I'm super, super excited. And in the last really few weeks, a lot of this has coalesced into a new plan for me. And I have been talking about a lot of it for some time, but I think today you'll find it all coming together. So here's the overview of my 9 points, and then I'll go into each one with more detail, and also then at the end talk about how we can react to these changes. And these are in no particular order. They're not in the order of this will happen first, then this, then this. They are just, this is just the order I wrote them down, and I decided not to reorder them, because who knows? This is what's so crazy. We don't actually know what will happen first, and some of these technologies are already out there. 1. Non-fiction books, blog posts, and news articles will be written by AI. 2. Copyright law will be challenged as books are used to train AIs, which then produce work in the voice of established authors. 3. Voice synth technology will replace human narrators for mass market audiobook narration. 4. Voice search will disrupt text-based SEO, and if you don't have voice content, you will be invisible. 5. Translation will be performed by AI for books as well as other content. 6. Content will explode exponentially, and AI discoverability and marketing tools will help navigate the tsunami. 7. AI augmented creativity will develop, and more people will want to be writers. 8. Print publishing will shift into a green, sustainable model with AI-assisted micro print on demand. 9. Expansion of mobile reading plus micropayments enabled by 5G mobile and blockchain technology plus 4 billion new people online equals an explosion of reading. So I'm going to get into these individually, but as ever, please do let me know your thoughts on these topics. But please do check the show notes and the sources before you rant at me, because I have backed up pretty much every statement I'm making based on articles from verifiable sources or from tools which are already available. So I haven't just sat down and made this stuff up. I have actually been using a lot of different sources. So I may not quote them all. But a lot of my backup research is linked in the show notes on episode 437. 1. Non-fiction books, blog posts, and news articles will be written by AI. This is already happening. Text generation AI is already used for journalism, including tools and companies like Automated Insights, Narrative Science, Bertie, and Heliograph, as quoted in Forbes. The first AI-generated textbook was published in April 2019, quote from The Verge, writing in the introduction, Springer Nature's Henning Schoenenberger, a human, says books like this have the potential to start a new era in scientific publishing by automating drudgery. This is surely just the beginning. The write and publish faster model will soon be broken. You cannot write as fast as AI. It doesn't get tired or burn out, and it can consume millions of academic papers or books much faster than you can read. Publishers are not charities, and authors are basically content creators, writing products to be sold. An in-house proprietary creative AI, such as those mentioned, will work constantly with no hand-holding and no need to be looked after in any way. Of course, human editorial will be more important for choosing topics and shaping the direction of production, as well as editing the finished product, but expect far more content creation by AIs over time. If you are a freelance writer doing work that does not have a personal stamp on it, check my thoughts below after my 9 on doubling down on being human. 2. Copyright law will be challenged as books are used to train AIs, which then produce work in the voice of established authors. AI has exploded in the last few years because of two main developments, deep learning and big data. In that 2016 Go match, DeepMind's AI AlphaGo Zero beat Lee Sedol, the Go champion, with creative moves that went beyond the comprehension of Go masters, as quoted in Wired. AlphaGo Zero was not programmed with rules by humans. It learned by itself through playing the game, and then by playing its own previous iterations until it surpassed all human players. That is the true shift behind the acceleration of AI since 2016. AI is no longer constrained by human programmers telling it what to do. Just give a deep learning algorithm enough data and let it train itself. As Google Head of Decision Intelligence, Cassie Kosiakoff, said at the Wired conference in London recently that I attended, quote, you tell the AI, optimize this objective on that data set. Go. Of course, the problem then becomes the data set you train it on, as we have already seen with the social media bots that end up spouting hate speech because they learn it from humans. Curation of the learning dataset is key, as well as the objective you set the AI. For example, what if my objective is to write a best-selling horror novel? And what if I give the AI the entire Stephen King backlist to learn from? As the wonderful Mr. King has written millions of words. Or what if I give the AI the top 1,000 best-selling horror novels from Amazon? I could probably do a rudimentary version of that right now with tools that are available like AWS Amazon Comprehend, which discovers insight and relationships in text, and then utilize a natural language generation tool like GPT-2, considered so dangerous that it has not been released in its full format, as discussed on OpenAI. But of course, many other such tools will be created. The first movie has been created from a screenplay written by an AI, as reported in Ars Technica, and while the result may not be high art, it was a first draft and took only a few minutes to create, after much deep learning from existing scripts. The first novel has been written by an AI. As quoted on Singularity Hub, OpenAI's MuseNet generates music at the click of a button, Google's AI is writing poetry, AI music is changing the way hits are made, and the first piece of AI-generated art has been sold at Christie's for $432,500. And for more on AI-assisted creativity, please check out the Sleepwalkers podcast, which I've mentioned before, fantastic podcast. The episode to listen to is called Chocolate Chicken Chicken Cake, which is a terrible SEO title, but it's just a fantastic podcast about creativity and AIs. And they have an interview with the screenplay writing AI, which I think is called Benjamin off the top of my head. But that was the episode that kind of galvanized me to write this post, because I was like, okay, if they can generate a first draft in 2 seconds, I spent 18 months writing a screenplay that still isn't finished. I mean, I still don't even have a first draft. Back to my notes. How long does it take a human to create a first draft? How much more do you have to look after that human? Will big film and big TV care if they use an AI for the next iteration of another superhero franchise? This type of AI creative scenario is already being questioned by the music industry, which is where I got this example from. An article in The Verge discusses, say an AI system is trained exclusively on Beyoncé's music, so you just feed all her music into the AI. Is she justified in either owning that work or receiving any money from that work? And several legal experts believe the answer is no, because of current copyright law. There is no doubt in my mind that something like this will be achieved, and probably quite soon in the book world, given how scammers love to scam, and I linked to the article by David Gockram, which is all about KU and scammers, and also the plagiarism scandals seen in the author community, like #copypastechris, as well as those who continue to flood Kindle Unlimited with mass-produced books. Someone will do this for books, may already be doing it for books. So we have to consider the ramifications. And at the moment, copyright law doesn't exist for this. So if I train an AI on the works of Stephen King and it writes a new book with not a single sentence that is plagiarized, but is clearly in the voice of King, who owns the copyright on that book? Stephen King didn't write it. The AI wrote it. Currently, the view is that non-humans can't have copyright, according to the Robotics Law Journal, which is very cool. But Stephen King didn't write the book. So do I own it if I gave the data set to the AI? Or does the company that created the AI tool in the first place? So some are arguing, well, maybe the tool will own it. But I currently use tools like Scrivener to write in. Does that mean Scrivener owns the copyright to my books? No one is claiming that at all. So if I, as an author, use the Stephen King generator model to write a new book, do I own that copyright? Can I publish that book under my own name? Now, personally, and I've had this chat now with quite a few people, I feel that this is a form of plagiarism. It uses Stephen King, who I absolutely love. It uses his hard work to train an AI for my purposes. And since I do love his work, I want King himself to be rewarded for his work and continue to create new things. But many do not share the ethical boundaries that I do. And of course, ethics are not legality. For more on ethics, check out the Ethical Author Code by the Alliance of Independent Authors, which does have some ramifications around AI, but is certainly not copyright law. So as an author, I am excited about these possibilities. I would love to build a natural language generation model based on my books. I'd use that to help me generate first drafts based on adding new ideas to the mix. Perhaps I would even license that model to others to write books and take a percentage of the income, maybe a bit like those Kindle Worlds things that we had a while ago. Now, a really important note. Deep learning needs a lot of data, so it's most likely that books by one author, even Stephen King, would not be enough to train a model, at least right now. It's more likely that a genre-specific publisher with rights to a whole catalogue could train a model based on their backlist. So I won't mention anyone specifically, but if a publisher with a whole load of books within a specific genre, trained a model based on that, then they could spit out a lot of first drafts based on that design. Now, I think this is interesting. It might even spawn a whole new subgenre of mashup books. For example, what if I could license 30% Stephen King, 30% Dan Brown, and use 40% of my own J.F. Penn books to create a new voice that merged those things? And in fact, I often feel my books do sit between Stephen King and Dan Brown somewhere. So very, very interesting creative idea to see if we can do that. However, obviously, that to me right now, it's not viable according to what the tools are available to me personally, but equally, there are issues around ethics and copyright in training a model with those books. So if I was Stephen King, or Stephen King's publisher, or if I was a publisher with a genre-specific backlist, I would be looking at licensing my backlist to an AI text generator model right now. I would want to own this space. Now, I'm not in that position. It'd be very interesting to see who might do this first, but this is something I think is very, very interesting. 3. Voice synth technology will replace human narrators for mass market audio narration. So, of course, you can already use Amazon Polly to read your audiobook and release it as a podcast, as Makoto Takedome did an article on The Creative Pen linked in the show notes. You can't publish that on the audiobook retail platforms yet, but it is only a matter of time until AI voices are indistinguishable from human narrators. Even after I had written the first draft of this article, we have had a new service or new company arrive in this space. So I actually edited this yesterday to add in the new company. That's how fast things are moving. So you can check it out. DeepZen.io promises to be one step closer with, quote, sector-specific solutions that will eliminate the need to use studios and lengthy recording sessions by creating a human-like quality of speech with emotion that can be edited by using intuitive tools. Digital Trends reports the company claims that it could reduce the time and cost to produce audiobooks by up to 90%. Now, that could be the game changer. And if it's not DeepZen.io, it's going to be something else. Now, I listen to some nonfiction narrators right now and wonder if they are actually bots. I mean, some of the narrators are so bot-like. And I also listen on 1.5 or even 2x speed. So the quality in quotation marks, is less important to me than the content. And I know a lot of people, I've been asking a lot of listeners, a lot of audiobook listeners, would they care? Most of the time, most people don't actually care. They want the content. They would rather have the book in audio narrated by an AI than they would, well, they just won't read it otherwise. Many people I know have switched into reading by listening. So if it's not available in audio, it's not available full stop. So given that the Audible app now goes up to 3.5x speed, that suggests to me that people are listening at faster and faster and faster speeds. I thought I was listening fast, but many people are just speeding up content, speeding it up. So many hardcore listeners are more concerned with content than the experience of narration. Of course, if you are very unhappy by that statement, there will always be room for gorgeous audio productions by human narrators, actors, and performers, with probably full cast and musical and very just amazing production. But these are a lot more expensive to produce and will be more expensive to buy. So that will be more like a treat, like going to the theatre, something you buy occasionally and as an experience. And probably you might listen to that at the normal speed, rather than your daily audio consumption. So for me now, if I'm listening to 2 or 3 hours of audio every day, and in that time, if with 2x, I can get that up to 4 or 5 or 6 hours of actual audio time in 3 hours, you know, that's how a lot of people are consuming now. So if the main platforms continue to reject AI narrated books, then I think a new subscription model will emerge that only has AI narrated content, and it will be a whole lot cheaper than the human read versions. We will also see a new license, which will be AI narrated audio. So you'll be able to license your audio in loads of different ways, including for AI narration. And that will be a separate license to something like full production cast audio. You'd be able to license it in different ways. So I think this will stratify the audiobook market into mass consumption AI narrated audio, and then artisanal audio, which I talked about with Lorelei King the other week, or artisanal audio created, produced by humans. So this is definitely already happening. If you go on Audible or any of the audio platforms, there are these full cast productions. They recently did War of the Worlds again. I have bought a couple of these for my experience, for the experience, like audio dramas with sound effects and everything. But that's the minority of my listening. Most of my listening now is just getting the content into my head. Like I said, I've listened to probably 10 books on AI in the last month or so. So as text-to-speech narration becomes indistinguishable from human narration, famous actors and narrators will license their voices to AI models so they can be paid for recognition but not have to do the work of narration. This will make it cheaper to have professional voices and accelerate audio even more. Those actors may even sell their voices or license their voices as some kind of trademark so they can narrate from beyond the grave, in the same way that Enid Blyton, amongst others, is still putting out books. And of course, Enid Blyton now and her signature is a trademark. So I've had a podcast for 10 years, and in my small niche on the internet, you guys, I have a voice brand. And many of you have come up to me at live events and said, oh, I recognised your voice from across the room. So I'm now narrating my own audiobooks because of this development. And I intend to develop my own AI voice model that you could license if you want me to narrate your book. So check out lyrebird.ai to see the beginnings of this technology emerging already. 4. Voice search will disrupt text-based SEO, search engine optimization, and if you don't have voice content, you will be invisible. So audiobooks are the fastest growing segment in publishing, as quoted by the bookseller and lots of other people. And this growth will only continue as people try to reduce their screen time, interact with voice assistants, and increase their reading time through audio. As I've said many times, my own behaviour has changed radically in the last year in terms of voice first and listening first. So once text-to-speech narration is indistinguishable from humans, or human voices are used with synth AIs, voice content will explode. You already can plug in Amazon Polly to a website and have it read out the blog posts, but we're going to have a lot more audio. So in recognition of the importance of voice, and again, I had to edit this yesterday to add this in, Google announced at their 2019 I/O conference that they will include podcasts in search results. And I've linked to an article at Marketing Profs. So that is major. That means that if you type self-publishing into Google, you should get my website, but also you will now get the podcast. So very, very interesting, because audio has not been indexable before now. So I don't know how they're doing it, whether they're doing speech to text and then indexing that. Whatever they're doing, this is a major announcement. So if you didn't have a website, so let's think about it this way. If you didn't have a website in 1995, it really didn't matter. You could still have a business. I didn't have an email in 1995. I wasn't using the internet in 1995. I was using books. I was at university. If you've listened to my Oxford episode on books and travel, I talk about that then. But by 2005, most businesses had a static website, just like a storefront info page. Now, even many individuals have a web presence, whether that is their own website or a social media page. And I even have a tutorial at thecreativepen.com/author website about how to build your own website in 30 minutes. It is not hard to build a website now. So I believe the same acceleration will happen for voice. So if you don't have audio content or your business is not voice accessible by 2025, that's 5 years, I guess, or at least 10 years, you will be invisible to the voice first devices because they only surface audio content. 4 billion more people are coming online in the next 5 to 10 years, as reported by Singularity Hub. They will be mobile-first consumers of the internet on 4G or 5G speeds. Many of those devices will be Android, enabled by Google Assistant. And they will now have a podcast app on as well. So if you ask Google Assistant or Siri or Alexa to find you a book, they default to audio content. If you search with voice, the reply is by voice. So if you don't have voice content, you won't be found. If your audiobooks are only on the Amazon ecosystem, they cannot be found by Google Assistant or Siri, who search in Google Play Audio and Apple Books Audio, respectively, which is another reason to go wide with audio, as I talked about on a previous episode. So voice search has the potential to disrupt the existing search engine model that monetizes based on paid ads. The front page of Google is no longer enough when there is only one answer to a question on a voice device. So in a voice-first world, we need to figure out ways to be discovered. For example, building Alexa skills or other voice-enabled marketing. For example, you don't have to get scared over this. What you could do is just create a hit list of podcasts you want to appear on and then pitch them. And that will mean you can get into voice. It doesn't need to be that you start your own podcast or build an Alexa skill. You can just go ahead and pitch other people. So there was an article in What's New in Publishing noted the publishing industry will continue to miss out on revenue estimated to exceed $50 million in 2020 without changes towards voice first. So this kind of searchability by voice. So for more on this, listen to the interview with Bradley Metrock on voice first technology and also optimizing for voice search with Mirel Sattar, both of those in the last few months, which I'll link to in the show notes. 5. Translation will be performed by AI for books as well as other content. At Beijing Book Fair in August 2018, the Youdao AI translator translated a 100,000-word non-fiction book from English to Mandarin in 30 seconds. It then took a human narrator a week to clean up the translation, and it was ready for publishing. The comparison was 6 months for human translation alone. So that's 6 months down to 30 seconds plus a week of edits. And that's as reported in the New Publishing Standard. So deep learning has accelerated AI translation tools like Amazon Translate and tools by Microsoft and Google, as well as companies like Lilt, who use AI-powered translation and then humans to edit and polish. A quote from a Forbes article on Will machine learning AI make human translators an endangered species? The quote says, within 1 to 3 years, neural machine technology, NMT translators, will carry out more than 50% of the work handled by the $40 billion market. And that's a really interesting article. If you're interested in translation, I'll link to that in the show notes. So indie authors so far have focused on licensing content to foreign markets. But if you can use AI translation, how will this change the way we publish? Especially if we can use AI-powered marketing where we don't need to know the language in order to reach readers. And that's been the issue. I got into translations in 2014 and then pulled out, paying off my various partners because I couldn't market those books. So AI-powered marketing will give us a chance to do this. I'll talk about that in a minute. So it's very exciting to think that we can publish in other languages, but also consider it from another angle. What if Chinese authors publishing on their mobile platforms decided to translate their books into English and release them on the Amazon store, for example, or dump them all into KU. When China Literature spoke at London Book Fair in 2018, I was stunned that so few people came to hear their representatives speak, because I actually see that possibility as very interesting and potentially a far greater threat in terms of the amount of content available. So how much more content will we have when translation is just as easy as publishing in your native language? And of course, I know many of you have got particularly angry about this with me, which is interesting. But if you are one of those who doubt AI translation will ever work for fiction, that's fine. Say it never works for fiction, but just consider how much it will impact the publishing industry if only non-fiction is translated. And most people agree that AI translation for non-fiction is much easier. 6. Content will explode exponentially, and AI discoverability and marketing tools will help navigate the tsunami. So if content is produced by AI at a faster rate in every medium, and possibly with the addition of translated material, then the tsunami of content will soon bury us all. Authors and publishers already have to pay for Amazon advertising to even be seen in the Amazon stores right now, and this model will soon be broken as ads become too expensive for most. But this overwhelming amount of content will also drive the need for better discoverability tools. I've been saying for years that the book itself should be metadata. Why do I need to select categories and keywords and run ads on other keywords or similar authors? Why can't the algorithms determine the emotional promise of my books and match the content with the right readers who will enjoy it? Distributor Publish Drive, who had some early investment from Google, has started using their AI tool Savant for category determination and is also moving to use more AI tools for authors in their portal. I think the mass market is dead, and we can see this from many things. We're now micro-niches. Bestsellers are dead, and micro-niche will be everything, and more granular discoverability will be better with AI. For example, emotional resonance matching. So this book made you feel this, this book will make you feel in a similar way. Or maybe really specific genre stuff, like I want a thriller set in Rome with a female protagonist who likes fast cars and Renaissance art. Go. So we are starting to see this with Amazon advertising auto-targeted ads. They were pretty bad a year ago, but they are starting to become more effective. And we've certainly found that some of the automatic ads do better than our manual targeting ads. So I would anticipate better AI matching between readers and books, as well as publishers and books they want to take further, or content producers for film and TV, and content they can license, like a supersized version of PubMatch or tail flick for Hollywood. So this is exciting for me. I want this now. This is actually the thing I would like to see much better, is AI discoverability. So I think the, for example, Google using audio in their search is another iteration of this. And what I think, if you're still listening, one of the important things is that the language that we use for a lot of this stuff doesn't even exist yet. So there may be things that we don't know about because they're called something else. Very exciting. 7. AI augmented creativity will develop, and more people will want to be writers. One of the best segments of the Wired conference I attended recently in London was the performance of Reeps One, a beatboxer who created a visual sculpture with his voice live on stage. It was beautiful and far more engaging than listening to his voice alone. I am not someone who sits around listening to beatboxing, but it really was incredible. And then he talked about augmented relationships, where AI will take our creativity into new realms of possibility. So I see the rise of Centaur publishing, where there will be new forms of writing in collaboration with AI tools, perhaps even the virtual Stephen King AI that I mentioned before. There will be new prizes and competitions in the same way that there is now Centaur Chess. Hopefully, we will embrace the new possibilities of AI-assisted creation in the same way as the Go industry has done. A quote from Shi Yui, ninth Dan professional world champion, quoted on the DeepMind blog, and DeepMind were the people who built AlphaGo, says, quote, "AlphaGo's game last year transformed the industry of Go and its players. The way AlphaGo showed its level was far above our expectations and brought many new elements to the game." And I love that quote because this is, there's a Netflix documentary on this, on the Go game, and also on AlphaGo beating Lee Sedol. And you can go onto YouTube and just watch his face, because you really feel for Lee Sedol and you feel like he has just seen his future kind of crumble. But then what we've seen afterwards is the industry rallying and coming back and going, wow. I saw one description where they said it's taken us to a new plateau, like we thought we'd reach the top of the mountain, but actually now we can see so much further. We can see there are more mountains to climb, and we've been shown that by AI. So that is just super exciting to me. I do hope you look into this further, because this is really what has changed my mind on the whole thing. So, of course, there will always be purists, those who insist on human-only creation, but I bet you those people are still happy to use the internet when it suits them. Tools are tools, whichever way you look at them. So I hope we will embrace AI tools. I hope we'll embrace the idea of creative commons and maybe remixing as mashups between human and AI, and that we will celebrate a new form of creativity. I'm excited about the possibilities for writing beyond the content of the book container. So, for example, writing a story for an interactive voice assistant, like the Choose Your Own Adventure stories, which are now available, some of them obviously, as Alexa skills, or writing an audiobook or an audio drama first, or writing for augmented reality, which I definitely want to do for sort of companions alongside my books. So the possibilities of transmedia become even more exciting with AI assistance, especially as an indie, because we don't have the budget, the massive budget that many of these companies do, but these tools enable us to stand alongside some of the bigger companies and move faster. So looking at the broader impact of AI, and many of the more negative things talk about the loss of jobs instead of the creation of new industries, also the need for retraining, maybe universal income of some kind so people can afford to live, and many basic tasks being done by AI so people have more time to do the things they want to do, like write. So I believe the human drive to create is innate within us all. And many of us are writing focused first. That's our natural form of creation. And as people have more time, people will consume more, hence the, say, rise in audiobook consumption, but they will also create more. So teaching writing has always been part of the author business model. You will find schools and colleges, universities, online courses are full of writers teaching, and festivals, that type of thing. And this will only become more applicable in a future with more creators. So I would expect to see a boom in books on writing, as well as creative courses, and particularly in-person, human-led experiences like retreats, live events, conferences, festivals, which we're already seeing. And certainly I'm thinking about doing more events myself in the future. 8. Print publishing will move to a greener, sustainable model with AI-assisted micro print on demand. So I absolutely believe in the future of print as a format that readers still want to buy, but not in the way that publishers currently produce print books. Current publishing models are incredibly wasteful, with huge print runs, returns, pulping, and some books ending up in the landfill. Plus, many are printed a long way from the final store, with the associated shipping and handling issues, which many are starting to criticise in other industries. So with the price of paper changing, as quoted in Publishers Weekly, and the shift to green economics and buy local in a world of climate change, I can't see how this current publishing model will be allowed to continue. It's possible that it's only accepted now because so few people realise how wasteful and destructive publishing is. It has quite an image it has an image with a halo, but actually print publishing can be incredibly wasteful. So print on demand is the most sustainable option for print publishing. A customer orders a book, one copy is printed and sent to them. No waste, no pulping, no returns, just a happy customer with a print book. But of course, print on demand happens at specific hubs at the moment and is more expensive than bulk print runs, which is what the publishing model is based on. But that could change if the model shifted. For example, AI-driven print on demand in micro locations. So understanding where people are buying certain books will mean that AI algorithms can determine where the best place for micro printing could be. Maybe even this will be in bookstores like the Espresso Book Machine, which has not taken off, but could that type of technology work in conjunction with an AI algorithm that determines the books that should be printed where? Also, it will enable bookstores to localise as well as react to fast-moving changes in news and social media. For example, something happens, it spreads fast around the world and people go and buy a certain book. Now, bookstores could print copies. The algorithm could surface that this is the type of thing people are going to buy. Then they could then put it out in the store. And if customers buy them, more are printed on site. Now, Mike Shatskin, who has a fantastic blog, Idealog, did an article about Barnes & Noble, and he talked about the localised model of bookstores recently. Quote, "We need smaller stores with much more rapidly rotating title selection, probably driven algorithmically by sales signals and social media signals, more rapidly than human buyers could arrive at answers poring over spreadsheets." I totally agree with Mike Shatskin here. I think that years ago now, I worked in manufacturing, in a plant manufacturing stuff. And all of that at the time, this was 20 years ago now, was driven by computer models at the time of kind of that just-in-time manufacturing idea. And this is what I think we will need for books as well. I also wrote an article, I think it was 2015, might even have been before that, about how virtual reality and augmented reality could change bookstores. And I still believe that this could enhance the shopping experience by individualising recommendations. So, for example, if you walk into one of these smaller stores and you're wearing your augmented reality glasses, or you can hold up your phone to see what's around you, then bookstores could integrate that with algorithms to recommend books to you. That will enable physical stores to have a more effective presence, and then they can still sell you print books out from the micro printing press. So I really think that's very exciting. I just can't see how the model of waste will be allowed in a world where we're moving increasingly to consumers being concerned about sustainability. For example, we have shifted to the greenest energy tariff, happy to pay a bit more for a greener tariff. So I do think that that's the way things are going. 9. Expansion of mobile reading plus micropayments enabled by 5G mobile and blockchain technology equals an explosion in reading. So this model is already happening in China, with many people buying and reading within the WeChat ecosystem, paying with micropayments, as reported on the Future Book. Facebook is introducing its own cryptocurrency, Libra, and this may enable similar types of behaviour on the mobile social platforms used in the West. I already sell my ebooks direct through PayHip, as well as lots of other online stores, so I would absolutely consider selling my books on Facebook directly too, although it looks like the cryptocurrency would be used in far more places than Facebook. By 2025, there will be another 4 billion people online, and most of those will be accessing the internet through mobile devices. This is why StreetLib now has a publishing portal in every country in every language, positioning themselves as the publishing portal for the 2020s, and why I'm distributing on their platform now as well as others. I would say they are incredibly forward-thinking, but I do think that it has a few years to grow yet. So that's why this is a 10-year, I'm talking about a 10-year span, really. I think these are the changes that will occur over the longer term. Ahead, the massive growth of digital book sales, so ebook and audiobook, I'm counting audio as digital, is not in the US, UK, Canada or Australia, or those developed markets, it's everywhere else. And most of those countries don't use Amazon to shop for their books. Micropayments for pages read through mobile platforms will suit the next generation of readers. And if creatives can use blockchain technology to tag intellectual property through the supply chain, then revenue through these new models could be truly exciting. If you own global rights to your intellectual property, of course, which makes the independent author model even more viable in that future state. And you can read more about it in the Alliance of Independent Authors Blockchain for Books white paper. So I hope this gives you a sense of the excitement I feel right now. That comes to the end of my 9 points. If even some of this is possible in the next 10 years, what should we do in order to surf the change and take advantage of creative possibilities ahead? Embrace the tools, don't fight them. We are not looking at an artificial, general AI in the near future. There will not be an AI like you or me sitting at a laptop in a cafe, creating stories and books and hoping to change the world. That is not what is happening. But you can expect specific tools emerging from the new world of deep learning plus big data. A bit like your phone is filled with apps that you use every day, even though back in 1995 you didn't even know you needed a mobile phone, and in 2005 you didn't know you needed a smartphone with internet access. And now, like me, but most likely, you feel like, how did I live without it? So authors have always used tools. Even pen and paper augment your creative brain. I am reading this to you. I wrote this article. I've edited it and I've printed it out. It's here in front of me on ink, on paper, and I'm reading it in my house. And obviously I've got my laptop recording. I have recording software. I have a microphone. I'm using both paper and ink, but also the internet and technology to reach you with my thoughts, which is very, very cool. Writers have embraced the typewriter, then the word processor, and then dictation to write faster. And in fact, recently I've switched to AI transcription with Trint.com to transcribe my dictated files, as it's faster and cheaper than human services. So there's just a small example of a shift. So in the last 10 years, we've also started using writing tools like Scrivener, formatting tools like Vellum, publishing platforms like Amazon KDP, Kobo Writing Life. We've jumped on things like Ingram Spark, on ACX, on Findaway Voices. And we use the internet to publish and market and create, and social media apps to connect. And yeah, anyone who has embraced the new tools of the last 10 years have done very well indeed. And I, for one, intend to surf the wave of what's coming next. So how will you use the new generation of tools as they emerge? double down on being human. Publishers are businesses. They will use whatever tools they can to bring down the costs of doing business, and authors are just content creators at the end of the day. Yes, your editor may love you and your book, but it's the accountants who make the decisions. You cannot win on speed when an AI can write a screenplay in 2 minutes, or generate a textbook, or translate a book faster than you can read this sentence. But there is one thing you can do that AI cannot. Be you. Move away from the faster is better model to artisan craftsmanship. Stand out by having a unique voice. Don't write anything without giving it your own authentic stamp. Focus on local, imperfect, real connection with other humans. Everything you do needs to be personal. Use your experience and your voice to connect in the written word, but also by moving into spoken word and even video if that's your preferred medium. This is why I'm doubling down on voice technology, as I've talked about before, narrating my own audiobooks, creating Alexa skills, writing a travel memoir in real time on my new show, Books and Travel Podcast, and helping people know, like, and hopefully trust me so they are interested in what I create over time. I'm thinking about how I can do more artisanal creation, for example, limited edition hand-printed books on handmade paper, as well as creating experiences. For example, come and join me for a creative weekend in Bath, where I will show you the literary places that inspire me and help you write your own books. In conclusion, I believe that the next 10 years will bring an even bigger shift than we have seen so far, as authors and publishers face the promise and the challenge of AI-enabled technology. I'm excited to surf the change, and I hope you will join me on the journey. Recommended resources. Here are some of the blogs, books, and podcasts that I recommend if you want to learn more about what's going on with AI. I listen to most of these books in audio format and have mostly bought the hardback editions as well, as almost like a stake in the ground, because things change so fast, I like having it as reference material. So here are some of the things I've been listening to. First of all, Wired Magazine, The Verge blog, and also Digital Trends for regular updates on the applications of AI. All these are tech-focused, but are not tech-speak, so they're not programming or anything. And remember, although I am comfortable enough in this world, but I've never been a programmer, so I definitely don't do code or any of that. The Sleepwalkers podcast, which I've mentioned several times, just fantastic podcast that will give you, is not specifically about publishing, but will give you a sense of what's going on right now. AI Superpowers, China, Silicon Valley, and the New World Order by Kai-Fu Lee. I mentioned this was one of my books of the year in 2018. Absolutely fantastic. China aims to overtake the US with AI technologies by 2025 and be the global leader by 2030. They have changed their school system to achieve that and are changing society to take advantage of big data. Whatever you think about the ethics, this is a fantastic book that will make you question your assumptions about what you know about China. Totally blew my mind, that book. Talk to Me, How Voice Computing Will Transform the Way We Live, Work and Think by James Vlahos. It's a great overview of the history of voice technology, as well as how voice tech is being adopted in different demographics, from children with talking Barbie to helping dementia patients, and the emotional resonance of voice. He made a dad bot. His dad was dying of cancer, and he made a voice. Yeah, a dad bot. It's very, very interesting. So that was the book that made me decide to double down on voice in my own business. The Creativity Code, How AI is Learning to Write, Paint and Think by Marcus de Sautoy, who was on this podcast a few months back. So you can go and listen to that interview as well. Goes through, can AI really be creative? And what does it mean for us if it can? The Big Nine, How the Tech Titans and Their Thinking Machines Could Warp Humanity by Amy Webb. So I am on the positive, happy side of AI. You probably have realized that by now. So it's good for someone like me to read a book that has a more cautionary approach. And Amy Webb is amazing. She's in various future think tanks, really fantastic person. And this book is really about what could go wrong if we don't engage with the changes ahead. For example, one of the reasons I want to talk about the copyright issue is because at the moment, the models that are being used to train AIs are based on out of copyright material. And pretty much all out of copyright books are written by older white men. And there's nothing wrong with older white men, but we need to have AI models trained with voices that are not just one demographic. So we are not going to train AIs with the right stuff unless we integrate books that are within copyright. So I think that is a really big deal. And Amy does talk a lot about that. And it's important that also people who don't, who are not techie, get involved in this for the ethical reasons, for the all the reasons we need to be involved. So I hope this is engaging you and that you will get involved more. Life 3.0, Being Human in the Age of Artificial Intelligence by Max Tegmark, which is an overview of the development of AI and how it impacts society now and into the future. Again, really interesting book. Then a couple of, I guess, broader books and podcasts. The Exponential Wisdom podcast with Peter Diamandis and Dan Sullivan. Their focus is the next billion-dollar markets are about to take off. And it's a really positive podcast on the opportunities of exponential technologies, of which AI is one. The New Silk Roads by Peter Frankopan, and also The Future is Asian by Parag Khanna. Both of these books are more about the growing dominance of Asia, where a lot of AI development is happening. So much of our news is siloed and focused on domestic issues that we are missing the incredible developments going on elsewhere. And I've been very aware of this in the UK with Brexit. Although obviously I care about Brexit and I'm not going to talk about politics right now, but actually I think a far bigger impact is coming based on AI. I think AI will impact things far more than Brexit. So that's why I'm much more interested in following that and learning about that. A couple more books, Homodeus. I should just stop here and just say, you can see how I've gone a little bit mad in the last few months. I've been just devouring all this stuff and it's all mushed around in my brain. It's just becoming a little bit crazy, but really interesting. So Homodeus, A Brief History of Tomorrow by Yuval Noah Harari. How the world will stratify into those who can use and work with new technologies and those who can't. We need to be in the group who can use it and who want to use it. Do not be one of the useless class, as Harari calls it. And then just two more things. The Inevitable, Understanding the 12 Technological Forces That Will Shape Our Future by Kevin Kelly. And I love Kevin Kelly. He's always brilliant. This is a framework for looking at the world and the changes to come with a positive slant if you're willing to learn. And then finally, if you want to go a little bit further, and I'm doing this course at the moment, it's called AI for Everyone by Andrew Ng, spelled NG, but that's on Coursera. So Coursera, C-O-U-R-S-E-R-A. Coursera has lots and lots of free classes. You can also pay a little bit of money to get a certificate that says you've done the course, but it's called AI for Everyone. I'll link in the show notes. It is really, really good and great for understanding the language around AI, also its applications right now. What I found most interesting is you may listen to what I've just talked about and you may find some of it, that you're really resistant to some of it. For example, I've had so much pushback on the translation stuff, but actually Andrew, who's worked for Google Brain and also Baidu in China, he includes translation, AI translation, and AI text-to-speech, so voice narration, as some of the things AI does well already. So that was fascinating to me. It's a really good course. I definitely recommend that if you want to take things a bit further, as I am. Again, it's not programming, but it definitely is a little bit more techie. Okay, so I hope you will look into some of those resources. There is so much that I want to talk about that is included in these various books and podcasts and courses. So I hope you find that useful. So I hope you found today's episode interesting and useful and thought-provoking in some ways, even if you don't agree with everything I say and I totally don't expect you to. So I would love for you to let me know what you think about this, as obviously this is something I'm thinking a lot about. And once you start delving into it, you discover that a lot of people are working on a lot of things in this space that perhaps the mainstream industry, publishing industry, is not really talking about. So remember, you can check the show notes for all the links to the articles and the books and the resources I've cited. You can go to thecreativepen.com/podcast, go to episode 437, and you can also leave a comment there. So if you have thoughts or experience, or, you know, even if you're worried and you want to express your concern or whatever, or if you're excited like I am, then please do leave a comment. You can also tweet me at thecreativepen and pen with a double N. And I'd love to know what you think, because I am considering another site, another podcast to get into this area in more detail, because I understand that not everyone in this niche is interested in the futurist stuff. Okay, so the next show, episode 438, will be a more usual podcast edition with the publishing news, personal update, and a smaller interview with a focus on China, translation, and voice-first technology. So that is coming up. Happy writing, and I'll see you next time. Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You might also like the backlist episodes and show notes available at thecreativepen.com/podcast. You can also get your free author blueprint at thecreativepen.com/blueprint. If you'd like to connect, you can tweet me at thecreativepen or find me on Facebook at thecreativepen. See you next time.